Now, you see that title, you'd think I'm going to make you start doing leg squats and shaking around and stuff like that. No, I'm not going to do that. But we are going to talk about this. And spiritual aerobics and exercise. And we know the value of physical exercise. And some of us have gotten away from it. Others are still working on it. But do we know the value of spiritual exercise? And that's where we really need to focus tonight. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, it says, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the word of faith and of good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that it now is and that which is to come." So, spiritual exercise is good, and we need to be involved in it. All right. Anyone in this society can tell you that the exercise industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. And let's face it, everywhere you go, you see all sorts of exercise equipment. I mean, they set them up in hotels. They set them up in other places. They have whole businesses that have all exercise equipment. And you can go to those places or other places, stores, and find the necessary accessories to help develop some part of the body or to develop some skill in some sort of sport. They're always there. Always help you to hit a better baseball, hit a better golf ball, throw the baseball better. And there's always things like that. And then, of course, they help you out with tennis and stuff like that. And, of course, having the equipment really doesn't do any good if you don't have the skill. I used to play tennis when I was younger, and I had a coworker that he played tennis too. And I beat him every time. So he thought if he went out and bought a $300 racket, he could do it. I still beat him. So the equipment sometimes doesn't work. But anyway, we look at that. And we know there's places that have vitamins and herbs and minerals and supplements to build you up or to trim you down or something like that. And of course, as we get older, we find we need these supplements because what we get in our normal nutrition really doesn't cut it anymore. So we sometimes need the help of vitamins and herbs and things like that. And sometimes we know there's entire stores dedicated to exercise and sports. There are several, like the Big Five Sports, and in Texas we had Academy and Oshman's and things like that. So they're out there, and you can go just about anywhere and find these stores. And some businesses exist for the purpose of helping people obtain healthy bodies. You know, 24-hour place, Planet Fitness, and stuff like that. So they do that. Sometimes they have personal trainers there that you spend a little extra money, and they'll work with you and put you on an exercise routine to help you get to whatever you're desired to be, either to trim down or to lose some fat or lose something else. And so we're going to do all that. I'm working on a lesson talking about losing weight. And so we're going to see that. But it's not what you think. All right. So much effort goes into the physical bodies of so many people. And like I said, it's a billion-dollar industry. And we get out and Fred walks us every morning, and people riding their bicycles. They're all decked out in this clothing that's designed for bicycle riding or for jogging. They're doing that. And so much effort goes into everybody working on their physical appearance. But how much effort is put into our spiritual appearance? I mean, that's something we got to consider and talk about. All right, seems like every new product that you see nowadays is either low fat, low calorie, low sodium, or low sugar, right? Every time something comes out new, they've got one of these labels on there. I mean, sometimes it gets ridiculous. It's like this idea of pumpkin spice. You got pumpkin spice on everything. You got coffee, pumpkin spice. You got cake, pumpkin spice. And then somebody making fun out of it had some, unleavened bread, matzos, pumpkin spice flavor. Facebook. And then, of course, your lip gloss, too. So it just sometimes seems a little bit crazy. Now, certain people, they need the low sugar. Some people need to keep the low sodium or low calorie or low fat or whatever. But our society treats those with good, healthy bodies in high esteem. They look up to them. They think, oh, wow, good looking or something like that. Guy's buff and he's toned down pretty good. And yeah, the ladies like to look at him, and the women that are toned down, the guys like to look at them. And sometimes it's the other way around. But still, our society says that unless you have a good, healthy body, you're basically repulsive. And that's how a lot of people treat others. All right, so physical exercise has become so important that it affects all of us in some way, form, or fashion. And that's true. Even in the workplace, I know some companies, they make it mandatory. You go out, stretch before you go working, especially in high-impact places. I know on the docks where I worked, we basically had to sit down and do some calisthenics before we started. And, of course, the injuries did go down. And so that was effective for a while. I don't know if they still do that or not. I don't know. They don't do that anymore? Okay, they gave that up. Wasting too much time, I guess. All right, so it's a shame that they do not consider the spiritual body as equally or even more important than their physical bodies. All right. See, exercise, the word exercise comes from a Greek word which means basically to practice naked, as in the games. The earliest Olympics, if you were going to run, you didn't have a stitch of clothing on. If you were going to do anything, the wrestling and everything, basically in the buff, totally in the buff. And so when they trained and prepared oneself for battle or the games, they always did it without any clothes on. And the word, the Greek word, is gymnazo, which basically means to practice naked like in the games, or to train, or to exercise. And so it can be translated either, and we'll see that in the scriptures. Now, a similar word, gymnasia, which basically talks about the concept of training. And of course, in a figurative sense, the asceticism and the exercise. I know you've seen the a lot of Orientals, and you know they do their crazy stuff, you know, moving around and stuff like that, and that's it. But they basically would do that. They would do their exercise without any clothes on. And of course, some people it wasn't very pretty, but for others would look at it and say, "Wow!" So they would do that. So, and of course, this word is where we get gymnasium from. And you probably recognize that. But that's what happens in the gymnasium, is the sports and the training and the practice and sometimes the actual playing of games. And it also conveys the idea that exercise has a beauty or asceticism associated with it. And we know that. Sometimes, you know, Sports Illustrated magazine, they talk about sports all year long, then one issue comes out, it's their swimsuit issue. What's that got to do with sports and all? I don't know, but they do it anyway. And you know why? Because when they started doing that, their subscriptions went up. So we know what's on people's mind, and we don't have to do that. I used to take Sports Illustrated, and I saved all my copies. And one time, Aaron was 8 years old, and my in-laws came to visit us. So he ran in where all my copies were, and guess which copy he brought out to show my mother-in-law? So I canceled the subscription. I got rid of all them after that. But anyway, somehow the world thinks that these beautiful bodies is something that's... Actually, it sells, right? Let's face reality. It sells. Every commercial you see out there, you ever see a fat slob trying to sell something? No, not in the commercials. You ever see a beer commercial with a bunch of guys with huge beer bellies and stuff like that? Hey, how you doing? You don't see that. I mean, they're always young and spry and playing games and in their skimpy outfits. I mean, that's what the phrase sex sells. And that's what people think. They think, well, if I drink that beer, I'll get a nice trim body like that. And so, I mean, it's mind games is all it is. So that's how advertising works. It's mind games, trying to influence the people, saying you need this. If you do this, you're going to be beautiful. If you do this, you're going to be trim. Or some guys, you're going to have a nice head of hair if you do this. So it just goes along with the advertising. But as always, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And there's a lot of people who are absolutely beautiful people, whether their physical appearance is or not. So we have to remember that. And we are supposed to be beautiful people. God wants us to be that way. And so we should be. So we find these Greek words in the scriptures. 2 Peter 2:14. Talking about these people having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Now he's talking about the false teachers that are out there and what they do. And Peter's giving a little bit of their description of what they're like. And their heart is trained, gymnasia, in covetous practices. You know, for those who are faithful to the Lord, their heart is trained to discern between good and evil, right? You read that in Hebrews chapter 5. And so we see that. Now in Hebrews 12, it says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Now here's the purpose of discipline. And I learned this in the workplace. The purpose of discipline is to modify behavior. I mean, it's not to punish somebody. I mean, if necessary, that's what eventually it's going to look like. But you to modify the behavior. Person's not doing it right, you train them. If they still don't do it right, you warn them. If they don't do it right after that, you don't need them. So you get rid of them. And so he's talking to this section here about training. And God disciplines those whom he loves. We know that from the context of Hebrews 12. And so those who are trained by this chastening, in other words, God's not happy with the way I'm performing, so I change my ways. And guess what? Because of that, the peaceable fruit of righteousness becomes mine. And by doing that, because I have been trained by that. Hebrews 5:14, "But solid food belongs to those who are full age or mature, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So that's right. The word exercise, the same word, gymnasia, that we've been talking about. And that's what it is. We have our minds trained. We have it prepared. And so we can discern between good and evil. How do we know what's wrong? Well, the Bible tells us what's wrong. So we learn the Bible, we know something is wrong, and we know not to be doing that something. Now, physical exercise is the practice and movement that keeps our bodies fit and healthy. Whether you just decide to do walking, or whether you get out and actually run, or whatever you do, lift weights or whatever. Some people do that. I haven't done that in a long time. So, consider the discipline associated with such. About the only thing I do is pick up a fork and keep using that, forks and spoons. But still, we consider that. And there is a discipline. You know, some of our athletes, they have a discipline about themselves. I mean, they know that it's There are certain things, certain types of food they should be eating, certain types of weights they should be lifting, certain types of exercise. Remember watching Rocky? Yeah, you know, he got out there and he drank those eggs, raw eggs, and we said, ooh, that's gross. But anyway, he did that, then he started running. And as the movie progressed, he kept getting faster and faster, and the music picked up, and he ran fast, and everybody was trying to chase him, and he was just leaving them all behind. And then he got up there and did his famous pose. But still, later on, when he was fighting another person, Apollo Creed said, you know, you need to start swimming. You need to learn to use muscles that you've never used before. And so that's another thing. Sometimes we have to learn a whole new discipline for this physical exercise. And we must be aware of the food we eat and the training that we go through and the regular routine that we have to go through. It just doesn't do any good to go out one day a week. Let's say this week we'll go out on Monday and do our exercise, and next week we'll go out on Thursday and do our exercise and figure that. But no, it's got to be on a regular basis, and really on a daily basis, if we are going to benefit from it. So doing things on an irregular basis will not produce the desired results. Now, the Bible teaches us that our culture has it backwards, and that's true, emphasizing the physical instead of the spiritual. And that's what everybody looks at, the people in the world. I mean, like I said, sex sells. That's all they're paying attention to. And they're looking at these things and they're lusting and thinking about that. And that's what they're paying attention to. The key thought is that even the physical has its rewards for excellence and hard work. And we see that when athletes work really hard, they can win the prize. And of course, to be a winner, dedication is necessary. And you'll remember that, you know, you start watching an event like the Olympics, and they talk about all these different people have all these different sports, but there are certain words you keep hearing over and over: the dedication, the discipline, the desire. I mean, all the words that start with D that we use in our spiritual exercise, they use it there as well. They're necessary. Desire, diligence, determination, doing are all keys in achieving our goals. All right, we must learn from the dedication and zeal demonstrated by worldly people and apply the same fervor and zeal in our efforts to please God. That's why we talk about this. See, most humans do not appreciate laziness by those who are paying to perform or help the team to win. You know, it just goes without saying, a lot of times some athlete holds out for a new contract, gets a big multi-million dollar contract, and then he just kind of lazy out on the field. The fans do not appreciate that, and they will boo every lack of effort that he demonstrates. And so they don't like that. You're getting paid a lot of money, you better be working your tail off, is what they're saying. But we also understand God does not allow for laziness or half-heartedness in our spiritual life either. And sadly, there's too many who are doing this. 1 Timothy 4:8 teaches there is nothing wrong with physical exercise and says that it even does some good. Physically, yes, it is good for us, but not near as much as exercising the spiritual. Because if we want to go to heaven, we've got to exercise that spiritual. All right, spiritual exercise. It is vital for our growth and our development as Christians. We know we have the command. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 tells us that. We're to grow up into all aspects into Him. Ephesians 4 and verse 16. So Hebrews 5:13-14 says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So now we must examine ourselves to see what kind of spiritual exercise program we're involved with in what we're engaged in. That means paying attention. Wake up and smell the roses if we have to. So, are we giving ourselves the proper kind of food? And we see this. Do we give ourselves the proper amount of rest? Some people run around like doing things all day long for other people, and they're just always tired. I mean, they don't get that rest. And then sometimes, and we know this works in the physical, you got to study your opponent and learn their tendencies of their behavior. That's why they send scouts out to see what the teams are doing. And we have a game against a certain team. We send scouts out a couple of weeks ahead of time so they can see what they do in certain situations. So if we find ourselves in that, we have a pretty good idea. Okay, they're probably going to run a screen pass right now. And so, and you're ready for it. And then you defeat them. So we do need to study our opponents. I mean, the boxers, they got to know what the tendencies are of their opponent. Because if they just sometimes rely upon their own brute strength, sometimes they can get surprised real quick. See, the correct physical and mental training and discipline, that's what we need to be working on. And do we have a thorough knowledge of the rules? Here's another point. Paul talked about that all run in the race, but only one wins the prize. Why? And this one that wins the prize must do it according to the rules. If you've ever been in a race, you know it's important to follow the rules, right? And that's why they have monitors throughout. You know, they run that New York City Marathon, and they have a specific route people are supposed to follow. And every now and then, somebody kind of sneaks into the running pack who didn't start the race. And they get down there, and somebody's watching that. They're making sure that doesn't happen, because that's cheating. They don't like cheaters. Most people don't like cheaters. So, they have to have a knowledge of the rules. And we must get the proper food that will produce positive results. 1 Peter 2 and 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so that's what we need. We need the Word of God. And we desire it like a babe desires that milk. We should desire the Word. A lot of people who have been in the church, they don't desire the Word like they should. And they are very weak. And they stay a babe, really. And that's not good, because God doesn't like that. And also, we must work together as a team and eliminate individual weaknesses. You know, in the workplace, a manager has to work with what he's got. And there's some strong employees, there's some weak employees. Well, you got to utilize them to the best benefit of everything. Now, on a team, yes, professional teams, they have the right, well, we'll cut this one and get someone who's better. And that they'll do that. And so they really get the cream of the crop, the best of the best. But if you don't have that, there's some teams that they really don't have a great team. So, but what do they work? They work together to take care of individual weaknesses and to try and compensate for that. And so Hebrews 10, 23 and 24 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You know, there's a lot of competitions where you rely upon your teammates to encourage you, to give you that, come on, let's go faster, let's work on it. You just got a little ways to go. And what do we hear? Yeah, batter, 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 hit that ball and stuff like that. We hear the chatter from the baseball field. And it's good to encourage your fellow teammate. Because if they do something good, chances are your team is going to win. And so you want to do that. And so we look at this. We know, we hear about the fact that there's veterans join a team and they help the young ones to develop and get the right mindset and things like that. So that's what we should be doing as a team, helping each other. See, the worldly-minded person will say that Bible study is only for preachers. He says, it is too hard to understand anyway, so why even try? And how many people have you met that says the Bible is too hard to understand? Yeah, we've all met those people. They say that. That's because they haven't put any effort into it. They say it's just too hard to understand. See, the worldly-minded person feels if they are not too bad, then they must be okay. People who don't go to church, well, I'm not out there robbing banks, so I'm okay. God must be okay with me. They do that, but yet they're not faithful to God. They haven't read their Bible, so they certainly know that's not going to cut it. So the spiritually minded person knows that self-discipline is necessary for us to have salvation. And we do need to discipline ourselves. We can't let ourselves go, and we can't get involved in the wrong things. We've got to pay attention. And we also know the Bible is to be understood. That's what he tells us. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So they apply themselves to the task at hand and learn what God wants them to know and to do. And then they become doers of the word. James 1:25, be doers of the word and not hearers only. All right, Ephesians 3, verse 3 and 4. Paul said, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. We can learn about Christ, we can learn about the church, we can learn all of that by reading the words of Paul, by reading the scriptures. So we can learn these things. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth is found in our Bibles. And that's where we learn how to come to that truth. And so we must exercise ourselves towards godliness. Working on it. Improving ourselves. Getting better at godliness. Colossians 3, 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So yes, that's involved in this. We must learn to apply a divine principle in our spiritual lives. And we cannot train or prepare for one thing and be ready to do something else. Now I'm going to paint a picture here, and you just think how ridiculous it's going to look. Imagine a football lineman being put on the ice rink in a competition. He cannot glide across the ice with poise and beauty. Can you imagine that? We're going to put you out. You're on the team, so we're going to put you out there, and you're going to do the ice skating. A football lineman? He's not trained for that. And then imagine a tennis player. Well, we're going to strap some skates on, and you're going to play on the hockey team. I mean, if they're not trained for that, they don't know what to do. And so there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things we know that we're not trained for. We don't even try. And just think about that picture. And then Galatians 6 and 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. You know, there's a lot of people out there who haven't trained themselves for something, but they expect to go and win the prize, to get the championship. They haven't made any efforts in doing and learning spiritual principles, but they expect on that final day, God said, oh, well, I'm going to accept you anyway. It's not going to happen. We have to realize that. So here's an example. There's two boxers who are challenged to a fight. One trains real hard, and the other watches football and eats hot dogs and drinks beer. So on fight day, which one do you think will win the match? Well, we know we're not going to have a 300-pound boxer fighting against a 110-pound boxer. They don't do that. They don't allow that. These guys are going to be approximately the same weight and size, pretty much, most of the time. But one just doesn't really prepare. They're probably going to lose. Most likely they will. Now, in the same way, two Christians say they are going to heaven. One trains real hard. And the other one fills his mind with worldly things such as watching football, eating hot dogs, and drinking root beer. On Judgment Day, which one do you think will win the crown? Do we really have to use our imagination to figure that out? They both said they're Christians. One's trying to go to heaven, the other one is not. See, physical exercise is good. And it's recommended, highly recommended. We would all be better. If you haven't been exercising like you should, if you haven't been out walking, start that. It'll be good for you. And we all would be better off if we did such. But how much more important is our spiritual health? That's what we've got to consider, and that's why we talk about it. It is important. So are we trained and disciplined to live right so that we may receive the crown of life? See, that crown of life is made available to us. That's what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. You know, I fought the fight, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. All those who are faithful to God are going to receive this crown of righteousness. And if we are faithful, we'll receive that crown. Revelation 2 and 10 tells us that. So, are you prepared? Have you prepared yourself? Have you been working on your spiritual exercise? If not, it's not too late. You can start right now. Start today. Dedicate yourself to serving the Lord the rest of your life, because that's the only way you're going to get to go to heaven. So consider those thoughts. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.